instant oil change.
If your service light's on, trust the techs with the training.
That's us.
270 hours with zero complaining. They train under the hood. They train down in the pit. 270 hours means their training's legit. It's the smart choice for smart folk who care for their steed. So trust the instant oil change that starts with Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Change wisely.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
All right, Dr. Ariel. Jeff, who is she?
She is a teacher that we've recruited to blog on our website and be brutally honest about what's going on in her school and in her life as it relates to teaching because, you know, we all deal with them, but we don't really know what goes on behind the teacher's lounge door.
Is the voice disguiser on?
Yes.
Hello, Dr. Ariel.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm okay. Now, I may be misreading this, okay, but in reading your blog last night, and maybe it was the state of mind that I was in, I just kind of get the feeling that you're kind of getting sick and tired of some of the comments that are coming back at you.
Well, after being in this for 15 years, I've got tough skin. I have the ability to let things roll off my back, because if I didn't, I couldn't be in this profession for that very long. But the frustration comes from, once again, people want to know how their kids are doing. You tell them, and this is the irony of the situation where I'm going with this, is that people don't want to hear the bad things about their kids. They want you to stroke their ego. So when you try to be honest about what's going on, look what's happened. I'm getting a lot of lip about it because people don't want to hear it. They want to hear the fluff of it. And, you know, they don't want to face their kids' problems, right, and actually work on a solution. They just want to point their finger at you because that's a lot easier. And isn't that that's what's happened in the blog. It's my fault. So that's the frustration, and that's exactly how it is in the classroom. It's my fault.
Let's talk specifics here, because you cite the example of some student that didn't get, like, his agenda signed or something like that, or you gave him an F and the mom sent it back with a really nasty note on it?
Well, I wrote in his agenda that he didn't turn in his homework. And she wrote back to me, so-and-so always does his homework. Surely you misplaced it.
Oh, God.
No, I didn't misplace it. I have five college degrees. I did not misplace a piece of paper, you know. So he just didn't do it, and that's just it. They don't want to hear that he didn't do his homework. They want you to hear, oh, he made an A, he did great. Well, maybe he did, but I know he didn't turn in his homework.
So rather than accept the responsibility and come down on little Johnny or whatever, she's saying, no, this must be your fault. You misplaced the homework.
There you go.
Wow.
And that's pretty typical?
Well, now, it's not every parent. No, I know that. And I know there are isolated incidences at every school. You have to remember, I'm only one teacher in one school who has agreed to do this. But when you get somebody like that, you know, most of the kids do turn in their homework. But when you get a comment like that from a parent, you feel like she wants to know what's going on, but yet she doesn't want to support what I say.
Well, we've asked you to blog about the things that are frustrating you. So if we asked you to blog about all the wonderful parents, then you'd be doing that. But we asked you to blog about what is frustrating to be a teacher in this state and in this city, and that's exactly what you're doing. So obviously, you know, the people going on the blog are going, but there's good kids out there too.
Right.
Of course there are, but we're not talking about that.
If I didn't make anybody mad, it wouldn't be doing my job. So I feel like I'm doing my job. So, you know.
You seem to get really irritated by a couple of comments from people that were specifically pointing to, like, karma.
Yeah, what's that about? A child dying in my classroom, that's karma? Are you kidding me?
Explain. I don't understand what you mean.
Over the weekend, I had a student and her father, they were killed in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the comments in the blog back to me was, this, you know, kind of like along the lines of, you got what you deserve, this is karma. I'm sorry, a child dying is not karma.
That doesn't even make any sense.
No, that's somebody that obviously doesn't understand the meaning of karma, and B, what a malicious comment.
But are you sure that were they referring to the car accident, or were they referring to something else you may have put in your blog?
I think they were referring to that because I'm being so honest about the way parents really are, that it came back to me about my attitude about some parents. Well, you know what? This is how a lot of teachers feel. A lot of teachers want to get in the parent's face and say, look, your child is not perfect. You need to accept that. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And it's the same thing.
Well, yeah, I agree with Bert on two points. One, it is a terrible comment. And two, that person needs to get in a classroom because that's not karma.
Right,
they don't understand
the definition
of karma.
And several teachers have written, you know, there are a lot of teachers who support what I say, and I appreciate all of them who come on and write the positive comments. And I myself have written, and other teachers have written, if you think you can do better, go apply.
Right. There's one thing at talking about it. Well, sign up to be a teacher then.
We need plenty of subs. Plenty.
You also mentioned that 50% of teachers leave within the first 5 years of their career.
That's correct.
If you had to, like, put a list together of, like, three or five reasons why, what would you point to?
Parents, that'd be the first one. Discipline, we have little to no control over the kids in our classroom, and when they're sent to the principal, they just get a slap on the wrist, and they're sent right back to the classroom. I would say parents and discipline are the number one reason. Lack of support from the administration, too much paperwork, and you put in a lot of hours. I mean, somebody wrote that she does research and she doesn't even put in 12 hours a day. Well, I never said I put in 12 hours a day, but I do put in a lot of hours. In fact, the teacher I was talking to last night told me that she was up till 1 in the morning just getting... The night before, she was up till 1 in the morning, just getting papers together to send home and try to organize things. We do put in a lot of hours. We don't leave the school at 2:30, 3 o'clock and go home and sit on the couch and watch television. That is not how it is.
I think we had our former intern, Martha, used to complain about the very same things, and she got into teaching for the right reasons and just kind of felt beat down the same way... And using the same examples that you're using right now, like she didn't have any control of her classroom. Mm-hmm. She didn't get a lot of support from administration.
I think she hit the nail on the head because I have another friend. I mean, such a brilliant man that decided he wanted to be a teacher. And he left after 3 years because of the discipline problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had no control in the classroom. And he would get reprimanded if he tried to do anything. And he left.
That is right. And that is right. Let me tell you something that just recently came down in my county. We were told that we could send kids to the office or whatever for a certain discipline after, like, a level 3 discipline problem. Level 1 and level 2 you had to handle on your own. I don't want to go too much into that because I don't want to reveal where I'm at, but you can only send a kid to the office for level 3 up to level 5. And if you sent the child up one time, that was fine. The second time you sent a child up for level 3 to level 5 incident, they came to your classroom to observe you to see what you were doing in your classroom to make this child continue to do a level 3 to level 5 behavior. Now, excuse me, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a behavior specialist. I'm a teacher, and I'm trying to do my job, but I can't when the juvenile delinquent in the classroom will not do what he's supposed to do. You know?
Well,
I think the word now today is hoodlum.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like, you know, the principals and the assistant principals don't want to get the phone calls from the parents either, or they've gotten the phone calls from the parents and they're siding with the parents instead of the teacher. The teacher is fending for themselves, you know?
That's right. The administration is siding with the parents because they're afraid of lawsuits. And that's not in every situation, so don't misinterpret me, but in a lot of cases... The administration does support the parent, and you're right, teachers are fending for themselves.
Hey, Ariel, I want to put you on hold for a couple of seconds, and I want to take some calls here from people that are talking about different things that you're touching on today.
Sure.
Basically,
sure.
All supporting what you're saying, but hold on one second.
Okay.
I don't want to put everybody on the voice disguiser here.
Okay.
All right. Good morning, Shannon. You are on the Burt Show, all the hits Q100. Hi.
How you doing? I just finished... a thesis, actually, on exactly what you're talking about why teachers leave the field within 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the three main reasons nationally, the first is finances. Teachers just don't make enough money. The second is inadequate preparation, because with, like, programs like Teach America, they're throwing teachers in that just don't have the experience or the background. And the last thing is inadequate administrative support, especially with respect to discipline.
I think that's exactly what Dr. Ariel is telling us, is supporting your thesis. Yeah, I mean, she nailed it.
Yeah, and it's totally, I mean, it's national. It's not a problem in her school. It's not a Georgia problem. It's every school.
And it's a shame because, you know, I know Jen's mom's a teacher. My mom's a retired teacher. And a comment that my mother said to me after I got out of college, which for her is almost like, I don't know, that she couldn't believe she was saying it, but she said if she was a mother now of school-aged children, she would never put them in the public school system, and she wouldn't teach in the public school system. And for her, it hurt her feelings to have to say that, but she just is so disappointed with the way that, you know, education has evolved.
And I think that that's why my mom has always taken a pay cut to teach in the private schools, because if you have to kick somebody out of your class, you kick them out of your class. Right. They go to the principal. The parents are talked to, and I'm sure it's a similar struggle. But with a private school, you have an option to say, you're gone. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Kicked out of school. Go find another one.
But the problem with private schools, because I know private school teachers, is the parents are writing a check for the kid to go to that school. So if it's a big, high-money private school and the kid gets in trouble and the parents are big donors or big boosters, because that's something different that can happen in public schools, like a parent can build a new gym for a private school or a parent. So these big money private schools, kid does whatever he wants, and the principal will pull the teacher aside and go, look, this person is, they're paying full tuition. They've got four kids behind him. They've already put three kids through the school. And they've got a lot of cousins.
So what we're hearing here again is the grass is brown everywhere, people.
Right.
Good morning, Trisha. You're on All the Hits Q100. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. I agree with this teacher. I have two boys that are, one's in third grade and one's in fifth grade. I have good boys, but I know they're not perfect. And if they misbehave or they're not following directions or listening to the teacher, I want to know in their agenda. And if they get in trouble, then, you know, if she can do what she needs to do at school, and then I do what I need to do as a parent at home to try to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, again, I don't want to sensationalize this, and I think Arielle is always a little cautious about this also. It's not all parents she's talking about. I don't even think it's the majority of parents she's talking about.
It's a lot of them,
though. But it's a lot of parents.
Come on. I mean, like, there was no possibility in my growing up that my parents would have ever argued with the teacher over my behavior. If I was sent home or the teacher told my parents that I did something wrong, that I automatically got punished at home from my parents because they were partners with the teachers. But I guarantee you there's a great amount of parents out there who are against the teachers. And if you're a parent that has ever had to call the teacher to complain to the teacher about the way that they discipline their child in the classroom, you're one of them.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
If you have ever questioned the teacher for disciplining your kid, you were wrong.
You were right. You were one of those parents.
I don't know when it changed.
Teachers aren't perfect and they make mistakes, but just in the whole realm of raising kids, there has to be a level of authority. Mm-hmm. And even if the teacher is wrong, and even if the teacher accused your kid of cheating and you weren't really cheating, then unfortunately that's a lesson that you learn in life that, guess what? Sometimes the teacher's wrong and you get the short end of the stick. Deal with it.
I don't ever remember being scared of the teacher. I remember being scared of making that long walk of shame down to the principal's office, which was the first level of fear. And the second level and last level of fear is knowing the principal was going to call my parents. Because I was going to get my arse handed to me as soon as I got home, you know?
Mm-hmm. I was intimidated to bring the report card home, make sure my parents were okay with it. You know, I still had A's and B's on it, but I still, like, there was a level of intimidation that obviously is not there anymore.
Hey, Dr. Arielle, we got you on the Voice Disguiser again here. I hope that you choose to keep blogging for us and coming on. I know that you're getting a little bit beat down by the criticism that you're getting, and I hope this hasn't turned into something that's laborious for you now.
Oh, no, I'm a tough cookie, but I would like to say that the gentleman that called in about the national study, that's very interesting because most of the teachers that I work with and know are not in the profession for the money, and they know it's a lower-paying profession when they go into it, but that is an interesting study, and I'm glad that he shared that information, but definitely, I mean, I could be making six figures somewhere else, but I choose to stay because I truly love to teach. The mandates make it hard to enjoy it.
Well, you guys should go and check out Arielle's blog. I mean, if you're a teacher, you'll either relate to it or it will create a firestorm if you're a parent, I think. But she's being honest with you. She told you she was going to be, and she is.
Well, if you're a parent that's offended about what she said, guess what? You're one of those parents.
Right. And it's funny to watch the comments after and the message board after because the parents get in a shouting match as much like their kids are in the chat rooms all day long, you know?
Right.
All right, Arielle, thank you very much for your honesty. We appreciate
it.
The Burt Show. This is Rick Burgess from The Rick Burgess Show. If you're still auto-renewing your car insurance without shopping around, you are probably throwing money away. I'm telling you, go check out Insurify. In about 2 minutes, totally free, you can compare quotes from over 100 companies all in one place. Now, here's what I love. Insurify actually monitors your rates and alerts you when prices drop, so you never miss out on a better deal. Millions of people have used it to stop overpaying, and there's no reason you shouldn't too. Do yourself a favor. See what you can save right now at Insurify.com.
They're down 21 with just over 6 minutes remaining.
This is the moment, baby. This is the moment we separate the dogs from the boys. And if you ask me, I only got one question. Do you got that dog in you? Because it's never about the winners or the losers, but it is about the difference between those brave enough to put some action on the game and those who just want to watch from the sidelines eating off-brand pizza rolls. So sit down, lock in those picks, and trust that dog in you. Underdog. Unleash your dog.
Terms may apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.